When he emerged from the forgotten door, Gawain and the steward were there waiting for him. He nodded silently to the question in their eyes, and they both bowed their heads for a moment. Jordan put the torch back in its wall holder and used the move to take out a handkerchief and mop the drying tears from his face. He spotted Count Roderick around the corner, accompanied by a dozen of his personal guards. They were all hard, professional fighting men, and Jordan knew without having to be told that their loyalty lay exclusively with Roderick and not with Prince Victor. Gawain unobtrusively moved a step closer to Jordan and let his hand rest casually on the axe at his side. Roderick stamped to a halt before them, glanced at the watching steward, and bowed curtly to Jordan.
Pardon me for this intrusion, Your Highness, but it's imperative that you return to your quarters and consult with your advisers. A special meeting has been called at court, and your presence there was specifically requested. We need to discuss this, sire, if you will excuse us, steward.
Taggart bowed formally and turned to the prince. It was clear something was up between him and Roderick, but their quarrels were none of her business. Besides, Victor could take care of himself. She bowed respectfully to the prince.
I'll see you at court, Your Highness, and thanks again.
Roderick watched silently until she disappeared around the corner and then whirled angrily on Jordan.
I don't know what you've been up to, sire, and right now I don't care. Either you return with me immediately, or so help me, I'll slap a geas on you and compel you to follow me.
Ah, temper, temper, Roderick. Not in front of the children. If you're in trouble, of course, I'll come back with you. Now, what's this about my presence being required at court?
Roderick glared at him, and Jordan could tell the Count had been hoping Jordan would give him an excuse to use the compulsion spell. Apparently, the threat of a physical expulsion several hours earlier hadn't gone down too well with Roderick. Jordan carefully kept the grin off his face. Roderick finally stepped to one side and indicated the way he'd come with an angry gesture. Jordan smiled languidly. Roderick walked stiffly at Jordan's side. Sir Gawain followed close behind, and Roderick's personal guards brought up the rear.
A testing is to take place at court in an hour. A young noble has reached adult age, and by law and tradition he is required to prove his claim to blood. He does this by spilling some of his actual blood on the stone in front of witnesses. If his claim is genuine, the stone will awaken the elemental magic within him, and he will be admitted into high society.
What if something goes wrong and it turns out he doesn't have blood after all?
The stone will kill him.
Our problem is that one, if not both, of your brothers believe you to be an imposter. They plan to demand you prove your identity by undergoing the test yourself. Failure to do so would, of course, be an admission that you are not really Prince Victor.
Oh, tricky.
We have just under an hour to come up with an answer, for all our sakes.
They walked the rest of the way in silence, each busy with his own thoughts. Of them all, Jordan wasn't thinking about the testing. He'd already worked out a way around that. He was more worried about the worsening situation in Castle Midnight. As if the unreal wasn't enough trouble, it now appeared Louis and Dominic had declared war. Their troops were fighting running battles in the corridors, and Dominic had sacrificed his own wife in an attempt to gain more power. And despite the regent's declaration of the right of transference, there was still no sign of the damned crown and seal. Jordan frowned. Trying to keep track of all the factions and their varying motivations made his head ache. Back at Jordan's suite, the conspirators gathered together for yet another desperate gamble. Robert Argent sat stiffly in a chair by the fire, his dour face as unreadable as ever. Brian de Grange, the head of castle security, stood with his back to the fire, his face set and grim. Prince Victor sat in the most comfortable chair opposite Argent. He still looked painfully gaunt and drawn, but some of the color had come back to his cheeks, and he looked a little stronger than before. His mouth was firm, and his eyes were clear and sharp, but he had to clasp his hands together in his lap to keep them from shaking. The Lady Heather sat on the arm of his chair, one arm draped protectively across Victor's shoulders. Jordan stood with his back to the closed main door and leaned against it. The more he dealt with his fellow conspirators, the more he appreciated the value of a nearby exit. He looked unobtrusively around for Sir Gawain, and was relieved to see the knight was standing at parade rest not too far away. Jordan felt a little better knowing he had at least one ally in the room. There was an air of barely suppressed tension among the conspirators. Count Roderick, instead of starting the meeting, seemed to be more interested in trying to fire up the apathetic Argent, who looked even more tired and unhappy than usual. Jordan didn't blame him. If his entire livelihood depended on the success of this conspiracy, he'd be worried too. It quickly occurred to Jordan that it did. And he was.
If I could have everybody's attention, I think I can save us all some time. Yes, Roderick has told me about the testing, and yes, I do have an answer. It's quite simple, really. I'll make a slight incision in Prince Victor's arm and collect some of the blood in a small glass vial. I will then conceal the vial up my sleeve. At the testing, I will pretend to cut my arm, but actually spill the prince's blood from the vial. A simple enough illusion, but since they won't be expecting such a thing, it should fool them completely. You may now applaud or throw money.
I can see a number of things that could go wrong, but given how pressed we are for time, I think we're going to have to go with the actor's plan. Unless anyone has a better idea?
He looked around hopefully, but nobody said anything. Victor stirred uneasily in his chair, and they all looked at him.
I'm not sure I like the idea of being cut like a pig being prepared for slaughter. It's not dangerous, is it?
Don't be such a baby, darling. It'll just be a little scratch, I promise.
You're looking rather better, Your Highness. Would I be right in thinking there's an improvement in your condition?
Damn right there has. I'm feeling a lot stronger. And do you know why? Because I've stopped eating food from the kitchens.
Your Highness, there can be no question of your meals having been poisoned. I've personally tasted everything you've eaten.
Then you must have a cast-iron stomach. Over the past few days, I've eaten nothing but raw fruit and vegetables that Heather gathered and prepared herself. And this morning, I actually woke up feeling hungry for the first time in days. I've had all the kitchen staff hanged, of course.
Everyone looked at the prince. Jordan was one of the first to recover and took advantage of the moment to study the others' reactions. They all looked shocked, but it was the raw hatred in DeGrange's face that caught Jordan's attention. It was one thing to know DeGrange only served Roderick because of the geas on him. It was quite another to see the rage and hate that lay under the spell written openly on the man's face. The emotion was come and gone in a moment, but Jordan made a firm decision never to turn his back on DeGrange. Gawain stepped forward to face Prince Victor.
You had them hanged, Victor? All of them?
They supplied the food. It was their responsibility to see it was fit to eat.
There were 25 kitchen staff. 10 were women, and 7 were child apprentices in training. And you had them all hanged?
Yes, it was my right. Now, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Is that clear?
Yes, sire. Very clear.
Victor settled grumpily back into his chair and looked hard at Jordan.
For the time being, you look more like me than I do, so you'd better go on pretending to be me until I've got my strength back. Now then, we haven't got long before you have to attend the testing. So, we'd better get on with this bloodletting nonsense. And be careful with the knife, actor. You leave a scar, and I'll have you flogged.
Jordan produced a slim glass vial from one of his hidden pockets. He usually used it as part of his invisible wine illusion, but it would serve here. Heather watched with interest.
Just how much have you got hidden up those sleeves of yours, actor?
You'd be surprised. Now hold still, Prince.
Brian DeGrange stepped forward to block Jordan's way.
You don't need to bother with that, actor.
Everyone stared at him. The air felt suddenly charged, as though something important had happened without them noticing. DeGrange had subtly changed. There was a calm, dangerous look to his face and stance. Jordan clutched his knife tightly and checked how far he was from the main door.
I didn't give you permission to speak, DeGrange.
I don't need your permission. I don't take orders from anyone anymore. Those days are over.
Be silent, Brian. The gears bind you to my will, and I order you to be silent.
Silent?
Roderick stepped back a pace, a thin trickle of blood seeping from his nose. DeGrange smiled at him.